Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. Now, this month, I have a new spring cleaning freebie for you. It's called 10 Quick Tips to Organize Your Google Drive, and you can grab it on the free stuff page of my blog using the link under the podcast description or by going straight to classtechtips.com/springcleaning. It includes 10 of my favorite quick tips for keeping your Google Drive organized. If you're not into Google, these tips can be customized for your Dropbox or Office 365 account too. This week's episode is titled, What Educators Need to Know About Clubhouse, with Marlena Gross-Taylor. Marlena and I first connected on Twitter several years ago, and when I saw her name start popping up in Clubhouse rooms, I was so excited to reconnect with her. If you haven't heard of Clubhouse before, Clubhouse is an invite-only audio platform where users can start conversations, listen into discussions or panels, and network with other folks. The number of educators on this platform is growing quickly, and when you open up the app, you'll find a spot to search for users or clubs you'd like to follow, and a calendar of upcoming events based on the interests you've selected when you first signed up. In the Clubhouse app, you can see what rooms other people are part of, jump around to listen in, and even raise your hand if you want to be invited up to the stage to speak. Now, there are plenty of issues with the app, accessibility being a huge one, and the fact that it's only on iOS or iPhones right now, and that it's invite only. And I share a couple other concerns about Clubhouse in an article I wrote for EdSurge. In the show notes of this episode, I'll include a link to my EdSurge article all about Clubhouse. I'll also put in a YouTube video that gives you a visual overview of the Clubhouse app and how to navigate it. And I'll also put a link to a blog post from February with some tips for teachers. So if you want to learn more about Clubhouse or would like a little bit more background, know that you can click on the show notes wherever you are listening to that episode. That might be one of my Clubhouse notifications right there, and you'll find out a little bit more. Now, Marlena has so many good tips and fantastic insight to share about Clubhouse and a few other things. She talks a lot about some important work and great projects she's working on. So I am just so excited for you to hear our chat. Let's go ahead and dive into the conversation. All right. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today to talk about Clubhouse and your work. And I gave listeners a little bit of an intro about Marlena. I'd love for you to share, what is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Thank you, Monica, for having me here. It's so nice to reconnect via Clubhouse, our reconnection, which is really cool. So I am, of course, founder of Edgy Gladiators, and I really have been focusing in this last year since 2020, really just hyper-focus on supporting teachers, leaders, districts, students in truly rethinking how we're going to go back to school and making sure we're doing so with a focus, and not just a focus, but actually action steps towards equity and to create a truly inclusive learning environment for our students. So I've always, as per Edgy Gladiators, supported educators and support staff and parents and teachers in a variety of things, but I've always done this diversity and equity work as well, but just really hyper-focused on it because now is the time to definitely rethink how we do school, right? From a digital integration piece all the way to a diversity and equity piece.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. Just all of these different pieces. I think we have this opportunity to have, you know, conversations, but also, like you said, take action, right, on this, right, with all these shifting pieces in our spaces. And, you know, we've been connected for a bit now, right? Several years, probably, right? If we count back a little. And it's been really interesting the past couple weeks or months, I guess, at this point, I think it's probably around 2 months for me, being on the social media app Clubhouse. And that's what I'm hoping we can talk about today. You're right, you know, right in line with your work and the topics that you found in this space. So I'd love to talk about Clubhouse and how did you first hear about this app?
Okay, so it's really interesting because I love to say that I'm 28 forever. And it is my reminder, and I'm sure I said this when we first met, gosh, now 5 or 6 years ago on Twitter. And it's my reminder, though, to stay current and to never stop learning. And a cousin of mine who's closer to 28 the first time around, he actually is in Houston, and he heard about the app, got on the app, and he's like literally called me and said, "Marlena, you have to get on this app." And I actually exhibited maybe what some of our teachers and leaders exhibit when presented with new technology. I had to really reflect on that. And I did it because he called me, wanted me to do it, and I trust him. But in the back of my mind, Monica, I was thinking, oh my gosh, another app. I don't know if it's worth my time. Uh-huh. Do I have the bandwidth to figure it out? Right. And all of those things. And so I jumped on it, opened up a room, listened in, kind of probably like a bull in a china shop, made my way through rooms trying to figure out how to navigate it, because it was probably 2 months ago now. And when I started it in, just really plugging in and being committed to learning it. And so now I can say 2 months later, I can not only say, but help people navigate it, but I see the importance. And it is an app that is worth my time and actually is worth, from an educational perspective, it's worth all of our time for sure. It won't replace Twitter, but it is a great way to connect with people that you might not have been connected to before.
Yeah. And that's so interesting about, you know, having that family member connection. I kind of stumbled across it in a couple Facebook groups I'm a part of, non-education ones that are more about digital marketing or making podcasts, right? Or kind of the businessy side of the work that you and I both do. And I saw, you know, all this buzz and had that kind of, you know, FOMO, right? Or fear of missing out. Like, what is this thing? How come I can't get on there? Why is everyone talking about it? Right. You know, all of those pieces. And I had a similar experience when I jumped on the first time. It's kind of like, all right, just press all the buttons, figure out what's going on here. And, you know, so I wanted to know, you know, you kind of share that idea of being in the space and going in and out of these different rooms. You know, what were some of your first impressions once you got in there? Was there anything that surprised you or that you kind of noticed right away that you kind of made a note of?
Well, initially I noticed the lack of educators in there, right? And I'm really thinking about the people that I admire and follow and connect with on Twitter, primarily because I do feel like that's the educator space. I feel like we've kind of taken over that quite a bit, and I think it's fantastic. And then Boxer, I felt, was like the second app that was like the next evolution of Twitter. So you're still connected on Twitter, but then you can hear people's voices and have conversations and all of that. And so I noticed a lot of my friends and a lot of the people I admire and I connected with were not on Clubhouse. So I quickly learned how to get more invites. And then once I was able to get more invites, knowing that you have to be more active, you get more invites, I started, you know, either DMing or texting some of those people that have been part of my tribe for the last several years and telling them, like, if you have an iPhone, you have to get on this app, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now I see more people on there. So that's the first thing I noticed 2 months ago. And it was still very much in its early beta form, because I think it just launched maybe November, December, maybe somewhere around that. Mm-hmm. And now what I notice now is that we have so many educators that are not on Twitter, and they're probably not on Boxer either. And I've never connected with them, and they are wanting and looking and needing community and support too. And from my perspective, I have worked in largely white spaces, white school districts, predominantly white school districts. And so for me, it has been very eye-opening because of the work that I do. It still keeps me in those spaces primarily. How many of my Black colleagues that are working in predominantly Black and Brown districts, how much they are needing the connection and how much they might be struggling with something that other districts have figured out, other districts that I've worked with even have figured out, and to be able to connect them together and just help both of those kind of two types of districts connect together and see where they can support each other has been very rewarding for me.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear that's been your experience as well, because I've found that, bouncing in and out of different rooms, it's been so wonderful to hear different perspectives and hear from lots of different educators in all different parts of, you and I are both based in the United States, and probably the majority of my audience of listeners is as well, but, a lot of international schools and educators from different parts of the world to hear all those perspectives. And, you mentioned Voxer, and I've always tried to become a Voxer person. And for listeners who don't know Voxer, it's an app that has messaging, primarily audio, although you can do text and pictures and all that. And it's so funny because maybe a week before I jumped into Clubhouse, someone in a group that I'm a part of educators said, you should join our Voxer group. And I said to them, I can't do Voxer. I've got all these other spaces. It's too much for me to catch up on the notifications. And then fast forward a week, right? And here I am, on Clubhouse, and it's been a couple of months now, this audio-based tool where, I find that, even though the notifications can be a lot, which we can talk about too, right? But it's just this idea of the live, real-time audio. I'm a big podcast person. It kind of checks that community audio box for me that Voxer has always been challenging for, this idea of listening into different conversations. And so, you mentioned different groups of educators and jumping in and out of the rooms or the groups and conversations on Clubhouse. How have you seen other educators using this space, kind of building upon what you've mentioned about, looking for problem solving and those pieces? Are there any other things you've seen educators kind of use this space for?
So first of all, let me say, it is so interesting that you mentioned about Voxer compared to Clubhouse. And I know we'll talk about notifications later, but I just want to say very quickly that part of the appeal I feel about Clubhouse is that the conversation actually ends.
Yeah.
I think before we're always in this mindset of, keeping the conversation going, which is good. And Voxer definitely does that. And the notifications can get overwhelming at times too, but it does keep the conversation and that connection going. And you kind of have that person on speed dial, right? If they're not one to have on your text. But I do like the fact that the Clubhouse rooms, now some will go for hours and hours or longer than expected, but they do end.
Such a good point.
So I just wanted to make that. But I've seen people use it, and I know how I've used it, to connect with others, whether the rooms are around a question or a problem that people are needing solutions for, or you have moderators that are posing the question because they have experience, expertise, maybe a product or a service that can help as well. And I think that's okay. I honestly think that's okay, because I know I was in a club just, the other day where the founder of Clever was in the room and talking about, how he came, who's a former teacher, how he came up with Clever and just kind of where it is now. And everybody uses Clever now, or most districts do before COVID to integrate and have a single sign on and those things. So it's really great. Like, I would never have a conversation, not hear his voice or be able to have a one-on-one conversation necessarily with him, And so it's really great to have that part. And so I see a lot of other hosts who have those connections with some of these, whether it's thought leaders in education or maybe the leaders of some of our providers that we use in our schools, to be able to have that dialogue with the upper echelon of that vendor or that company. That's been interesting to hear. And I've learned a lot just listening, right? And I think part of Clubhouse is being a good listener. You have to be a good listener, and it definitely helps with those skills.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned about that room. I was in that room too with Dan. Yeah. I think it was just a couple of days ago or yesterday or something, and listening in to that conversation. And I really liked the format. That was a massive room. I mean, there had to have been hundreds of people listening, right? And just this idea that there was an opportunity for some moderation, like a panel. And then this idea of people jumping up, you know, kind of grabbing the microphone, asking a question. And I just, you know, as I listen into these two, I, you know, I think a lot about the different formats that I've observed, like you mentioned, and how it feels so much to me like a conference. And, you know, I'm sure you've had similar experiences where you've got a busy schedule, you can't sit in for the whole 45 minutes, but, you know, if you can grab the first 10 minutes or the last 10 minutes of a session walking through a conference hall, you're glad you had that time. And, you know, I found that very much to be the way I've been navigating this space, is almost thinking of it like being at an ed camp and peeking into things, or being at a conference and hearing someone that I just don't typically have access to, or I might not have known where to go, right, to learn from as well. And so, you know, we've mentioned notifications and how the app has a lot of them, depending on how you set up your whole Clubhouse experience. But, you know, there are definitely some issues with the Clubhouse app accessibility, you know, opportunities for just iOS only right now. Are there things that you've come across in Clubhouse that you see as, you know, short-term or long-term issues or concerns?
So I think one of the things that I would love if they could do, because my experience has been, and I know there is in beta form, right? So they're always making adjustments and taking in feedback, is you can, like, if we were hosting a room and, or if we were in a room, say we were in the room with Dan from Clever, right? And we wanted to have a conversation, you could host and we could ping each other and open another room, but it would take us out of the current room. So I miss not having a chat feature to dialogue with other people. So you can still be in the current room. I miss that part. However, I do understand, because it's all audio too, and that's the focus of this, is that some of the rooms that, like, might not be educated related, right? Like, you'll have people that are trolling and things like that, and they can put, you know, just inappropriate or crazy things in a chat. So I understand maybe why they haven't done that yet, but I do miss the ability to be able to do that. And so some of the rooms that I've hosted and been in, you know, started using this idea of maybe using the hashtag to connect. And I think you might do that as well on Twitter or in LinkedIn. You can create an event in LinkedIn. And yeah, and I've seen, like, if it's a pretty big topic even, but it doesn't have to be a large topic, but most people are on LinkedIn as well, definitely in our field. And so when you create an event, you can actually, it has a chat feature. So I've seen people as well, especially in the larger rooms, say, make sure you click on the my Instagram, and they have a link to that event directly in their Instagram to that LinkedIn event. And once they join it, now they can do a chat feature. And it's more what we're accustomed to, like with the Zoom or a Google video or something, Google Hangout, I'm sorry, something like that. And you can have that interaction. So I think those are the two things that I feel like if we could have some way to have that other conversation going within the app, but there's always workarounds, and these are some very creative workarounds.
And that workaround you just shared is new to me. I haven't been in a room where that's happening. And now I'm going to try and poke around on LinkedIn because, you know, as you mentioned, I've been doing Twitter kind of threads when I've been doing a room. We're talking on a Friday afternoon recording this. And I'm going to, you know, after our conversation, have a room around ed tech tips. And it's the Friday share out room that I do. And, you know, I found when people are kind of throwing out these great ideas, not only am I going to forget it, but no one else is going to, like, know where to go. Or if I can't spell something or find the link to what they're talking about, it gives us some direction. But, you know, I agree with you that spending so much time, as we all work remotely, or many of us work in remote conversations with others, having a chat feature, it feels like a missing piece, not being able to drop the link into the thing we're talking about, even if it was a moderator privilege. I think that it would be really useful. And so, you know, we both said a few times that we've only been on the app for about 2 months. I think for me, it was like the first week of January or something like that. And so where do you see Clubhouse in 6 months or a year from now? Do you really think it has this potential for traction? Do you think educators are going to jump in? You know, kind of what's your prediction?
Well, so I think that it's good right now. And I think that anytime that there's something like this, where you see like a mass of people jumping on board, because there's totally other apps out there too, but I don't see a ton of people moving to those apps. They're still very, you know, they're still in that growing stage, exposure stage. But for something like this, I say take advantage of it now. Take advantage of the connections that you have now. And one of the things that has helped me, not only in my business, Monica, but something that I help other educators and schools do, is around like automations around so many things, where there's email marketing or, you know, you're posting, but an automated process or some type of process for not only when you connect, but grabbing their information, because you only have Instagram and Twitter. So if you do not have a link tree, which I encourage everyone to have a link tree, where you can quickly add, you know, whatever, you know, side room conversation chat feature, whether it's like LinkedIn, like I shared, or if it's on Twitter or something like that, you know, to be able to automate how you get people's information is really cool. I like the LinkedIn idea, because when people join, you actually have that connection and you see their profiles and you can actually download their email addresses. So as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you know, that's really great to have. So if Clubhouse closed today, I have a host of emails and information, right? Mm-hmm. Not just connected to them on Instagram, you know? So I think that is something that's important for the sustainability of Clubhouse, is to have those chat features, but then have some type of way where you can have a favorite or connect. But in the absence of that, I don't know how long it's going to last, but to take full advantage, you have to have a way to take the conversation offline and exchange information, especially at the very minimum, the email piece around that. Now, and you can also do a Google Doc and put that in your Instagram or, you know, or Twitter, because you can only put one link in both of those. So you can also have a chat and have it as a note taking and ask people to put in their emails. I don't know if that feels as organic as saying, jump into the LinkedIn event and we can have a chat going.
Yeah. And I think all of those pieces are ones to be on the lookout for, right? You know, there's a few different of the workarounds, like you mentioned, but I think that in order for them to be sustainable, just like you said, they're going to have to address some of these big issues, right? You can only be in beta mode or, you know, first look mode for so long before people, they lose their patience a little bit, right? With some of these requested features or things that might feel a little clunky. And so I know that you have been hosting rooms and you and I have talked in different Clubhouse rooms. And so, you know, there may be some things you want to share there with listeners, but what other projects are you working on, whether it's Clubhouse related or not? Would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, the topics that I've hosted rooms or co-hosted rooms have all been around education. And because of the timing of when I started on this, you know, it's been around things of how we can rethink school, period, right? Whether it's rethinking discipline or how to be more equitable. And so it's been really great to co-host. And I definitely encourage people to, whenever possible, co-host with at least one other person. It just makes the room fill up faster, as well as allows both of you to kind of bring your own networks to that room and give value there. So that has been really great. So I've been reaching out and doing co-hosting rooms, and that's been great, connecting and helping support in that way. The other project that I'm really, really excited about is for EduGladiators. We've been publishing now for 2 years and that's been going fantastic. So I'm very excited about that. And that's been great to find potential authors through Clubhouse app on topics that, you know, we've been looking for as a team, some really great practitioners. But one of the other projects that we're working on in EduGladiators is having our own membership site.
Nice.
And I'm really excited about that, because there's so many needs and there's so many educators out there that need support. And so I just feel like there's enough work and needs out there for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Where we don't feel like we're taken away from, you know, our other colleagues who might have businesses like you and I do, right? So we're really excited to launch that, as well as a course around, again, just something very dear to me. One of our signature courses in EduGladiators is how to teach Black history. Mm-hmm. And I'm just keeping it very simple, but from a practitioner's point of view. So whether you're a teacher or a leader or even a concerned parent or community member, right? Like having this in a way that is not only affordable, but practical, because we've had to rethink how we do conferences and things like that. And I know that's impacted you like it has me. And so being able to come up with a system that you can still have a great reach, but honestly, this might be better because it's hard to talk about even the things that you talk about from a digital point, digital aspect, from talking about diversity. It's hard to do that in a 90-minute session at a conference, right? And so I do love the idea of being able to rethink how we do our supports and services. And we're really excited about launching How to Teach Black History and extending upon the February Black History Month and extending it beyond just not only Black history, but understanding that's the foundation for all of the civil rights that other marginalized groups enjoy. And that if you can apply these things to Black history, you can, and we talk about that in the course, you can expand that to other groups as well, you know? So we're really excited about that. So that's on our plate right now. That's what we are really doubling down on and launching that, and just really excited to do that. And then lastly, what has come out of 2020 is this need for educators wanting to really think about their brand. And they're not a marketer, right? So they don't understand nor have the bandwidth to say, okay, I know I need to post more, and I know I need to automate more, and I know I need to do this and that. And so throughout 2020, we've also extended and grown our team here at EduGladiators to provide digital services to educators at a super affordable price. And kind of setting them up for success, no matter what it might be, whether it's to get a new job or whether it's to be more impactful in the value they provide. So we have an amazing dashboard that educators that we are just are focused on educators or schools or school organizations where they can post on all of the major platforms, including Pinterest, and track that, and an hour on a Sunday can get all of their posts done for the week.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yes, we are very, very excited about that. And so those are some of the things that if you haven't already seen, we'll start seeing, you know, more information about, ads about, because this is a direct response to what people are needing, you know? So those are our projects right now. And I'm very excited about that and proud of them.
Yeah. And those are, you know, what you just said with a direct response to what people need. Like that's what, you know, is what's so wonderful about the resources that you all put together. And I'm going to make sure to link to the EduGladiators homepage where folks are listening to this episode. I'll make sure to have a link on the show notes to the course and any membership materials that you have as well. There's just so much for everyone to take a look at. And you've created such fantastic resources with, you know, educators front and center to really prepare them for all the things, right? And all the things you mentioned that have shifted this year. So really excited to share that with listeners. And Marlena, I'm just so appreciative of you taking time today to chat about Clubhouse and about your work. And I want to make sure listeners know exactly where to go to connect to you. Where can they go to learn more about your work?
Thank you, Monica. This has been so fun. And I can't wait to co-host a Clubhouse room together as well. I'm part of the branding, right? So it's M Gross, G-R-O-S-S, Taylor. So all one word. You can plug that into any of the main platforms, including Clubhouse, and you can find me there. And you can also plug in EduGladiators. And we're not on Clubhouse yet as EduGladiators as a separate club. But you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all the things. So just connect, reach out. We're happy. We're truly here to help and just love supporting our teachers and our kids.
That's perfect. And thank you again so much. I'll link to all of that so listeners can find you and connect with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Monica.
Marlena was able to share so many great ideas. And if you are on Clubhouse, stay tuned because I am sure that the two of us are going to host a Clubhouse room before you know it. Now, I like to finish up every episode and sum it up with a few steps to make this EdTech easy. So let's get to it. First, download the Clubhouse app to get on the waitlist or reach out to a friend for an invite. Next, follow educators on the platform by searching for keywords related to your area of interest. Then, listen into rooms on different subjects to get a feel for how the app works. And finally, check your notifications and set an intention for using the app. If you are not on iOS, stay tuned because the Android app is supposedly coming soon. That's what I've heard. And if you are not able to, say, get an invite just yet, I'm doing air quotes there, make sure to just download the Clubhouse app and it should ping you before you know it that you've been kind of let into the space. Now, don't forget to head over to the show notes for lots of links to this episode. You can also find details for how to connect with Marlena wherever you're listening to this episode. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. Make sure to follow along with her awesome work. A quick reminder, this month I have a new spring cleaning freebie for you. It's called 10 Quick Tips to Organize Your Google Drive, and you can grab it on the free stuff page of my blog using the link under the podcast description or by going straight to classtechtips.com/springcleaning. It includes 10 of my favorite quick tips, ones I really use myself for keeping your Google Drive organized. And if you're not into Google, these tips are ones you can customize for your Dropbox, Office 365 account, you name it. Now, I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, scroll down wherever you're listening and leave a review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you found this episode. Or tell a friend about the podcast. Post a link to this episode with something you learned or something you thought of on your favorite social media. And remember to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Just scroll to the bottom of the page, tap on Write a Review button, and leave a sentence on why you like the podcast. Thank you so much in advance for taking those quick extra steps. It means the world to me.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.